Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. The bunting is gone. The Obama signs packed up. The barriers taken down. The delegates to the Democratic National Convention went home from Denver with renewed calls for change and unity. And those concerned about the environment and energy found climate change in the list of top priorities cited in the historic acceptance speech of nominee Barack Obama.
I will build new partnerships to defeat the threats of the 21st century. Terrorism and nuclear proliferation, poverty and genocide, climate change and disease.
And with the state of the climate clearly linked to the state of the nation's security and economy, Obama declared there is now a great opportunity to find low-carbon ways to put America to work.
As president, I will tap our natural gas reserves, invest in clean coal technology, and find ways to safely harness nuclear power. I'll help our auto companies retool so that the fuel-efficient cars of the future are built right here in America.
And Barack Obama is prepared to pour in taxpayer money.
And I'll invest $150 billion over the next decade in affordable, renewable sources of energy, wind power and solar power, and the next generation of biofuels, an investment that will lead to new industries and 5 million new jobs that pay well and can't be outsourced.
With me now is Living on Earth's Jeff Young, who spent a week at the convention. Hi there.
Hey, Steve.
Now, Jeff, in past election cycles, environmental activists have complained that the issue of global warming didn't get the attention it deserved. I guess this year's kind of different, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's almost not even a quote-unquote environmental issue by itself anymore. I think there's that connection between climate concerns, energy costs, the economy, national security, all tied up together. And collectively, those things are right near the top of voter concerns and so, of course, getting a lot of play in the campaign rhetoric.
All right, so now the Democrats have recognized the problem. What do they propose doing about it?
Well, Obama has long had a detailed platform on climate change and clean energy. And here it is in a nutshell. It's a cap-and-trade system to bring greenhouse gas emissions down 80% by mid-century. That with major investments in alternative energy and some sort of immediate relief for the people who are hit hardest by high fuel prices here in the short run. And nearly all of the major speakers at the convention hit at least some of those points.
Let's hear a little sampling of some of those green moments in the big speeches.
It just so happens that the climate crisis is intertwined with the other two great challenges facing our nation: reviving our economy and strengthening our national security. The solutions to all three require us to end our dependence on carbon-based fuels.
We need a president who understands we can't solve the problems of global warming by giving windfall profits to the oil companies while ignoring opportunities to invest in the new technologies that will build a green economy.
It's not a question of either wind or clean coal, solar or hydrogen, oil or geothermal. We need them all to create a strong American energy system, a system built on American innovation.
Now, Jeff, I recognize two of those voices, of course, Al Gore and Hillary Clinton, but who was the last voice we heard from?
That was Montana's governor, Brian Schweitzer. And I'll tell you, he really got the delegates fired up about energy issues.
Yeah, but his message was a little different from the others. I mean, Al Gore and Hillary Clinton are talking about green energy and bashing big oil. Governor Schweitzer says we need more oil and more coal.
That's right. And, you know, that points to a real sort of tug of war that was going on just below the surface here in Denver as the Democrats were trying to strike a balance on energy. They very much want to reach out to states like Governor Schweitzer's Montana, where people dig coal and drill oil, but also have a lot of potential for wind and biofuels. Same kind of story in, say, Virginia, very important electoral state. Former Virginia Governor Mark Warner, who is now running for the Senate, gave the convention's keynote address. And, you know, Warner supports expanding offshore drilling. So people like Warner, Schweitzer, other moderates from energy-producing states, they want the party to compromise. They know they're getting hurt by Republicans who have very effectively seized on the issue of high energy prices with a pro-drilling message. And those moderate Democrats want to respond with a message that says yes to some drilling, yes to some coal, yes to a lot of green energy, too. Sort of an all-of-the-above message.
Somehow I get the impression that's not going to play too well with the greener elements of the party. What do you think?
Well, not at all. And there is quite a bit of tension within the party over this. And we heard some pushback against any kind of expansion of drilling from some top Democrats, including Harry Reid of Nevada. He's the Senate's majority leader.
The simple fact is that the promise of more oil isn't part of the solution. It's part of the problem. At best, this is an 18th century answer to a 21st century crisis. At worst, it's pure baloney.
So, you know, this is not an issue where all the Democrats are on the same page just yet. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of message Obama and Biden decide they're going to emphasize.
Now, Senator Obama used the convention to showcase his running mate, longtime Delaware Senator Joseph Biden. Of course, part of the vice president candidate's role usually is to go on the attack against the opposition, and Joe Biden certainly did just that. He went after Republican nominee John McCain's environmental record.
Even today, as oil companies post the biggest profits in history, nearly $500 billion in the last 5 years, John wants to give him another $4 billion in tax breaks. That's not change. That's the same. And during the same time, John voted again and again against renewable energy, solar, wind, biofuels. That's not change. That's more of the same.
So, Jeff, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, McCain has really been an advocate for cutting greenhouse gas emissions. But as Biden pointed out there, Senator McCain has not voted for the kind of government support for alternative energy that a lot of people in the green field want to see. In fact, he missed some very critical votes this year. So, you know, Democrats are going to try to draw sharp distinctions by digging down into the McCain record, make him seem kind of like President Bush, too cozy with big oil, that sort of thing.
Now, Joe Biden has spent a lot of time on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, most recently as chair. Mitra Tosh spoke with Darren Samuelson. He's a senior reporter for the online environmental news service Greenwire.
Senator Biden is, of course, very well known for his foreign policy leadership in the Senate. What can you tell us about his environmental record?
Well, as the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for the last 2 years, he's been a leader in trying to prod the Bush administration into taking a more proactive approach in international global warming negotiations, in actually holding hearings in the Senate committee that he's in charge of, to put the spotlight on all the international complexities of climate change. And that means thinking about how rising temperatures and rising seas and the effects in developing nations could have on U.S. national security. He's been getting senators from the Democratic and the Republican side to try and get them to go and attend these huge international United Nations-led talks that take place all around the world over the course of any 1 year. You know, in 2001, President Bush essentially pulled the United States out of the Kyoto Protocol process. And when the Republicans were in charge of the Senate, and Biden was the top Democrat on the committee, he was a leader in trying to pass this very important, though it's a non-binding resolution, it's nonetheless important Senate language, trying to push the United States back to the negotiation table. And it's helped to politically move the ball forward and get the rest of the world up to speed that beyond President Bush, there is other things that can be done by the United States Congress and by U.S. policy to ultimately come around and reduce emissions.
Could he be more successful as a vice president than as a senator?
Absolutely. As a vice president, as we saw with Dick Cheney here in the last 8 years, a vice president certainly can have a lot of influence in how policy is shaped. And as a statesman, as someone who has been in the Senate for more than two decades, he knows what it takes to get legislation through, and he knows what it would also take, very importantly, to get a treaty ratified. And ultimately, that's the goal in the international climate negotiation process, is to get a treaty in place in the 2012-2013 time period that would be ratified by the United States Senate, which takes 67 votes, which is a huge hurdle to overcome. And as the former chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Biden, if he was the vice president, would certainly know what levers would need to be pulled to try and make that happen.
That's Darren Samuelson of Greenwire speaking with Living on Earth's Mitra Taj. So, Jeff, tell me, how would Joe Biden do as president of the Senate? You know, that's one of the official duties of the vice president of the United States.
Well, you never know. He might end up casting the deciding vote on an energy or climate change issue. I think we know they're going to be very hard-fought battles. And it's a little ironic that, you know, here we have candidate Biden on the attack against Republicans on this issue, but Senator Biden really worked very well with Republicans on climate change, partnered with the top Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee. And if there is an Obama-Biden administration, he's going to have to return to that bipartisan mode if he really wants to get anything done.
And what about before the election? Won't Joe Biden and Barack Obama have some problems getting their own party in line on the green agenda?
That may turn out to be just as tough. There's a real diversity of opinion on energy issues among Democrats, and I got a sense of that by walking around the floor and talking to delegates from different states. I asked them, what do you think Obama's top priority should be as president when it comes to energy and the environment?
All right, let's listen to a sample of that.
So my name is Representative Lindsay Holmes, and I am from Anchorage, Alaska. You know, I think at this point in time, the top priority's got to be renewable energy. It's got to be energy security and weaning us off fossil fuels and on to the great renewable potential that we have here in the U.S. You know, and we are an oil and gas state, and even up there, we got plenty to spare at this point, but even we are putting huge efforts into renewables and really weaning ourselves off the dependence on foreign oil.
I'm Frank County, Mayor of City of Des Moines. We can create a lot of green jobs around this country by urging conversion to energy efficient buildings and residences and commercial buildings, and save a lot of the greenhouse gases that are emitted from coal plants. We have to switch to renewables and off of fossil fuels, and that ought to be one of our absolute top priorities.
My name is Charlene Marshall, and I'm from Morgantown, West Virginia. Of course, I'm hoping in energy that he is going to be working with West Virginia, and that because we produce so much coal. And we're just in the process of building a refinery in Moundsville, West Virginia, for coal liquefaction. And I'm hoping that he will come to the table and that we'll be able to do some things with the coal, and that will produce some much-needed jobs throughout West Virginia.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll come back to you in a bit. Just ahead, the greening of the Democratic platform. You're listening to Living on Earth.